right, everyone. Hello and welcome back. And thank you so much for hanging out with us so patiently. I had a little problem with my headphones and couldn't move forward. I apologize for that. And thank you all again so much for hanging in there waiting. We do have with us Ms. Taifa Butler, who is Executive Director of the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, which I want to remind you is a nonpartisan organization. So for people who prefer to get information that is objective, and you're more confident that the information is objective if it's not coming from one political party or another, you have come to the right place. Taifa Butler, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thank you so much for having me today.
Truly my pleasure. It's been a minute since we've been together, too. I think it's been a few months. And
yes,
there's been quite a bit to have happened since then. But for the benefit of the people, Taifa, who have not heard any of the conversations that you and I have had previously, would you tell us more about your background, your educational background, your professional background, what led you to the Institute?
Oh, fantastic. Well, we are, again, as you mentioned, are the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, what we also like to underscore is independent, policy research organization. And at the end of the day, Carl, we are about advancing economic opportunity for all Georgians across the state. Not just those at the top, not just those who have means and access to all the things we think are part of a good quality of life, but we want to make sure that every citizen has access to great schools, good health care, great neighborhood and communities in which they live, and a lot of that we look through the lens of the state budget. And I have been the executive director at the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute for the last year and a few months, but prior to that, I've been the deputy. So I've been at GBPI for nearly 5 years now, and just have been in the state of Georgia working around improving outcomes for kids and families for the last 12-plus years. Worked previously with the Georgia Kids Count Project, which was with the Georgia Family Connection Partnership. Many people may know their local Family Connection Collaborative that focuses on kids and families and improving their lives, and I was working with them for a number of years. So all of that interest in really trying to improve the lives of Georgians, of our children, of our families, led me to sort of the policy work that is really critical. You know, you can look at what nonprofits do on the ground to provide direct services and supports for families, especially those who are in need. But then we think about what is the role of government, what is the role of public policy to really help facilitate opportunities for families. How does the state budget and our investment in public schools impact the community and impact all of our children's lives? So those are the things that GBPI looks at to really, again, be about advancing economic opportunity.
And you mentioned that, Taifa. There's something that I'd like to ask you. You mentioned that what is being done there at GBPI is mm-hmm. not about just focusing on one class or another. I'm curious. When we're looking at policy mm-hmm. and we're doing work, research, et cetera, that helps us see what's affecting the middle class, what's affecting the poor, policies that can make life better for them, for these two groups, middle class and the poor, does mm-hmm. that automatically mean that we are also looking for ways that whatever's going to help the middle class and the poor is automatically going to also hurt the wealthy?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Quite contrary, I think. And we've had this discussion, honestly, a couple of times this week, because a lot of times you'll see, especially with the discourse in the political context right now, with the rich and the poor and this sort of the income inequality, which is so prevalent today, is sort of it has to be if you're for the poor, you're against the rich, and that's just not the case. I loved one of the things I heard from an organization called Policy Link. They're about equity and really trying to improve policies to advance equity across the country. And their executive director, Angela Glover Blackwell, you know, presented some research and information that said really income inequality is not good for the economy. And we have to think about, you know, all the things that we can do to create better opportunities for the poor, for the low-income families, for the middle class, and for those who are trying and aspiring to get into the middle class will help the economy overall, and it will help everyone. So, I'm certainly of the mind that as we do our work, the policies and things that we see as barriers or hindrances or the levers that we think can be lifted or moved to help families will generally look at those in the middle class and those that are in the middle and those also on the low income. I was just reading an article from The Atlantic today, which, you know, showed how and actually a lot of our schools but in Georgia specifically, it's 62% of our school population is made up of students who are economically disadvantaged. So if we're talking about improving public education today and making sure every child has access to a quality, high-quality public school that ultimately helps all those in the middle class and those who are in low-income families. And we know education is a critical part of people's success, especially our kids.
Yes, ma'am.
So, yeah, so I reject that notion. But what I will say, Carl, is I have also, as I've presented to legislators and some of our elected leaders, you hear a lot of this discourse about, you know, we want Georgia to be the number one place to do business. But I also say, you know, we can't choose business over families. It shouldn't be a zero sum where businesses win and families lose in our state. And so how can we make sure our policies are much more inclusive of the worker, of education, and all the things that are critical to make sure that the workers that we have now can access these jobs that are coming in that the businesses are creating?
How does that happen? You know, it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game where the businesses win, the families lose. And we know that one of the policies that is constantly being pushed and promoted in Georgia is that we give all kinds of tax breaks to businesses. And,
right,
of course, there are other things put in place that can make things a little more difficult for families. That so-called right to work law, which basically just makes it easier for people to be fired without recourse. But the businesses get the tax cuts and the families hurt as a result. What is the connection? How are families hurt by business tax cuts? And then secondly, related to that, what are some of the practical steps that can be taken that can make the state appealing to businesses while at the same time strengthening families?
Well, I think one of the things we've tried to talk to our leaders about is that, you know, as an organization, there are policy goals for every tax break or every tax cut that is provided. There should be. And what we ask our legislators to do, and we don't have very strong mechanisms for this in Georgia, which I think is part of the problem, is that all the tax breaks that we provide, and we provide tax breaks to the tune of $8 billion annually. And some of those are good ones. You know, the grocery sales tax exemption that benefits many families. But then there are other tax breaks that are provided to businesses to incentivize behavior, right? You know, manufacturing and all these other things. Some of those, and for example, the big one right now is the film tax credit, which we're seeing is, you know, helping the film industry explode in the state. But what we say is for every goal or every, you know, outcome that we want to see from those breaks, are we evaluating those to make sure that they're happening? And we're really not. And so that's the thing is the next step we believe should be in place to make sure that all these expenditures, which we choose to give up each year in terms of collection, but that's less money in our coffers to do the state's business. Mm-hmm. And when we have for the last 14 years underfunded public schools to the tune of $9 billion. Those are the questions. Do we continue to give up these tax dollars and underfund some of these critical, government structures like public schools, like transportation, like our child welfare system that continues to need additional resources? Those are the things I think legislators and our elected officials have to make those decisions day to day. you know, do we choose to be a low tax state, which we are the 47th lowest tax, when you think about the amount of taxes per person, tax state and local taxes collected per person, we're 47th in the country. So we're already a very low tax state. But when we think about what are some of the critical needs facing the state, what are some of the things that can really move Georgia forward in terms of building a better infrastructure for transportation, for our schools, for our health, particularly, you know, we think about rural health today and all these rural hospitals that are closing. Well, there's a role to play in us building and supporting that infrastructure. And we're choosing not to do that, by and large, through our state tax dollars. So those are, again, I think those are the decisions that we have to make. And again, not to pit businesses against families necessarily, but again, I think a comprehensive agenda for Georgia would be really helpful in thinking about how we can move families into these jobs. How do we better support education and healthcare so people can be healthy? Those are the things that keep me up at night.
When we come back, could we address one more general concern, and that is the state of the economy during the 1990s under former President Bill Clinton, when we were reading in the news and hearing on the TV all the time that big business was doing well, medium-sized businesses were growing, small business leaders were giving benefits, perks to keep key employees. We were being told that the poor were doing better, the middle class was doing better, the wealthy were doing better. Can we take a look at that when we come back, just to get an idea of what was really going on at that point? And from there, move to some of the specifics of the legislation for Georgia for 2016?
Sure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, Ms. Taifa Butler. She and I will be right back.